Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Mitters, here live at First String Sports. Come on down here to First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Mitters, PaulMeadors. Also at 1430 ESPN. Kind of an interesting development in the last couple of days, right, guys? Look, the weather. The weather is unbelievable. It is freezing cold out there. I don't have to tell you guys the rain. I mean, it was relentless for most of yesterday. Absolutely relentless. And wreaked havoc on a few things in the central section. it did. And we're going to be getting into that a little bit. A few changes in the championship soccer games that are going on today. Changes in transportation for some of our basketball teams. And that's a topic that we get into a little bit during the show. But, yeah, the rain has just it's been on the topic of conversation. It's 39 degrees. 39 degrees right now. But, we live in the Central Valley, so we're not used to this type of weather at this time of the year. I mean, it feels like it's negative 15 degrees out there. The weather's sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. I actually looked at the weather app, and I think we only have 60% chance of rain for the next couple hours. So it's let up. Again, it's super, super cold out there. But anyway, lots of talk to talk about for the next 2 hours. This is my favorite week of the high school sports season. It is. Absolutely. The games have returned to Selden Arena. It's the first time since 2020 that the games are returned. If you guys remember back 2020, last time the games were at Selden Arena, 12 championship games, 6 boys, 6 girls. COVID hit just a few weeks later, if not the next week. Might have been the next week because they were done with the first round of state playoffs, and it was, I think they just went to the regionals, and it was, then they stopped. There was no state championships that year, and we're extremely, extremely excited that the games are back at Selden Arena. We've talked about it all season. Gabe Camry and I are going to be on the call tonight for the girls and boys games, starting, I think, probably around 5:45, 5:50 for a pregame. Girls game is going to be at 6. The boys game is going to be at 8 o'clock. And I tell you what, being at the games yesterday, I was there around 3:30. Stayed till about 9:30. Was able to watch 3 games. It is run like clockwork. Have not missed a beat at all. The floor is refurbished. They're back to just an incredible spectacle that it is. And I know Gabe. On his show on Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday, I had Bob Kajanian on, and Bob has been one of the guys that has spearheaded the regeneration of the games at Selden Arena, and it's top notch. It's the way it used to be, if not better. So we're super excited to bring you those games tonight. Make sure you tune in. Like I mentioned, the soccer championships have been a few of them were yesterday. There's more today. If you are interested in the boys championship, like we are. Clovis North, the number one team in the nation, taking on the number two team in the central section, Ridgeview. Ridgeview's only lost one game. Clovis North is undefeated. That game has been moved to Clovis East at 1 o'clock. So if you guys are headed there, make sure you go to Clovis East for that championship game. Jose Gonzalez of the Jose Gonzalez Show is going to be on the call for that one. I mean, what an absolute gamer that guy is. So Jose Gonzalez is going to be broadcasting the game here on 1430 ESPN. Boys soccer championship game, Clovis North and Ridgeview. What's going on my show for the next couple hours? Well, Kingsburg coach Phil Bergstrom's coming on. The Vikings are playing today for a D3 title at 4 o'clock against number one Sierra. The Vikings, they are the 11th seed. They have had an incredible run to the Central Section title game. They went down and beat 3 Bakersfield teams. 3 Bakersfield teams in a row went on the road. They did not spend the night on any of those games. They drove down to Bakersfield, won, drove back that night. Did it 3 games in a row. We'll be talking to Phil Brickson about their incredible run that they have and playing at Selden Arena today against Sierra High at 4 o'clock. The bottom of our bottom of this hour, Mocho Guerrero, senior basketball player from Carruthers, has over 1,900 points in a career, fast approaching the school record. 2,000 points is a huge benchmark in the Central Section. 1,000 is, right? If you're a 1,000-point scorer in the Central Section, you're considered a very, very excellent basketball player. Well, Mo is closing in on 2,000. They still have state playoffs. They were bounced by Clovis West in D1, and that's been a hot topic of conversation throughout the Central Section, right? Should Carruthers have even been in Division I? They were bounced by nationally ranked Clovis West girls. But Mo, you know, if they make a nice run through state, I believe they'll be in Division III. She has a chance of breaking that 2,000-point barrier. So coming in at the bottom of this hour. At top of hour number two, Gabe Camarillo produces the show. Gabe's my partner in crime. We'll be breaking down, you know, what all the good stuff that's happening at Sound Arena this weekend, a little bit about soccer. Oh, I need to mention, too, the other great thing that's going on right now in the Central Section. I guess I should say in the state. State wrestling playoffs. The championships are in Bakersfield. And, yep, Buchanan well on their way to a seventh straight state title. Not a section title, guys. It's called the Masters in wrestling, but a state title. Well on their way. They have seven wrestlers that are still in the championship bracket. So they're well on their way to winning a seventh straight state title. At the bottom of hour number two, Clovis coach John Hines is coming on the show. He's been on the he was on the show, I think, 3 weeks ago. Clovis High, you know, won a first-round game in Division II, but he's got a great eye for talent. He does a fantastic job breaking down games. Obviously, he's a Clovis High boys coach, and Clovis girls are playing Clovis West tonight at the 6 o'clock game, breaking down that game with him. He knows the boys game, you know. He did an incredible job. He you know, he's kind of become our go-to guy if we need to know something throughout the Central Section regarding boys basketball. So John Hines coming on the show, bottom of hour number two. I need to go through the scores from last night. So there were three games played on the boys, three games played in the girls. So divisions 6, 4, and 2, the even divisions, were played yesterday. In division, let's start with division 6 boys. Taft defeated Highland 43-41. In division 4 boys, Kerman lost. They were the number one seed to Tulare Western, a game that I was able to see, 60-40. Kerman had a strong season. You know, they're the number one seed for a reason. And watching them, you know, they're a scrappy team. They didn't have go-to scorers. Tulare Western, I felt like they had the better athletes in that one. And Kerman had a shot. They cut it to, I think, 4 points in the third quarter, and then Tulare Western just took over. Again, congrats to Tulare Western. They were the 3 seed, defeated Kerman 60-40 to capture the D4 boys title. In Division 2 boys, a game that I was also able to watch, Aurora Grande, the 2 seed, beat Porterville, the 4 seed, 59-30. Porterville, they struggled in that second half big time. They were stuck on 27 points for a while in the third and early fourth quarter. They just had trouble scoring the basketball, but and, you know, give credit to Aurora Grande's defense. They were a well-rounded team. So they are the Division II Boys Central Section Championships. I'm going to work, I guess, a little reverse, talking about the girls. Division II girls. It was a game between number 4 Tehachapi and number 6 Liberty of Bakersfield. Not Liberty of Madera, right? Liberty of Bakersfield. Liberty of Bakersfield beat them 58-51. And I'm going to be talking about the Tehachapi girls program and their accomplishments this season more with Gabe Camarillo. But Tehachapi was a very, very good girls basketball team. I was impressed. They ran, you know, great out-of-bounds plays. The girls played hard. Their sets on the offensive side were one with precision. But Liberty, they were just too tough. They were too tough for Tehachapi. You think of Tehachapi, you think, what, Division III, Division IV? Normally, in all sports, you think Liberty Bakersfield, what, their boys team, football team, right? Boys football team won the Central Section D1 championships, but they were seeded number 6 in Division 2 and beat Tehachapi. But more on the Tehachapi girls, and they have a great story. Obviously, we talked about the weather, and let's just say they're hanging out in Fresno for a while because of the poor weather conditions. So more on that later. In Division 4 girls, Lompoc, the 6 seed, defeated Tulare Union 32-31. And in Division 6, Lindsay beat Torres 53-37. Lindsay was the 5 seed. Little note on Lindsay, which is really neat. Lindsay, before COVID, they were 16-62. I looked at their records, and you know, they had like a 5-20 season. 2021, they won 8 games and steadily improved. So Lindsay, all their hard work these last few years has definitely paid off. Congrats to Coach David Newcomb on that win. So Lindsay girls are your Division 6 girls Central Section champions. Want to mention too what's happening tonight, and I should say right now, 10 o'clock. Reedley girls are playing Arvin for the Division 5 championship. Great story about the Reedley girls. All right. And who is the Reedley girls coach? Well, it's Mike Pellesi. Mike Pellesi is actually being honored today in between the girls game and the boys game, being honored for a lifetime achievement. And this is his first year at Reedley, and they've made it to the championship. It would be their first Central Section championship since 1983. They are the 10 seed. So incredible run by Reedley. They're playing right now. I'll give updates as we get them. At 12 o'clock, McFarland is going to be playing Madera South. Madera South. Why Madera South? Well, Madera South is the 13 seed, first of all. And they were supposed to play Desert. At Desert. Desert is the Air Force Base. 50 miles south, or I should say 50 miles east of Tehachapi. And Desert was not able to play that game. Madera South was on the road. They had to turn around. They said they were not able to play that game. So Madera South was awarded the victory. They move on today to play at 12 o'clock. 2 o'clock, Porterville. Porterville girls are in the championship game, just like their boys in Division 3. They're playing the number one seed, Bakersfield Christian. At 4 o'clock, a game that we're going to be talking about with Phil Bergstrom coming up after the break. Kingsburg taking on number one Sierra. At 6 o'clock, the game we're going to have on 1430 ESPN with Gabe Camarillo. Clovis and Clovis West. Be an incredible game. Can't wait for that one. And then the marquee game, the Division I Boys Championship, 8 o'clock, St. Joseph and Clovis West. Much, much more on those games as we move along for the next couple hours here on 1430 ESPN. Coming up after the break, Coach Phil Bergstrom of the Kingsburg Vikings on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Meders, here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon. Yeah, I feel like I really rushed through that opening, talking about all the scores at Selland Arena. It's really tough to keep up. We definitely want to give love to all the schools out there. Again, 6 games were played yesterday, 6 games today, starting at 10 o'clock. Reedley and Arvin girls are playing. And I mentioned in the opener the incredible run that the Kingsburg boys have had in the Central Section Division III playoffs. I want to welcome Kingsburg coach Phil Bergstrom. They're set to play number one Sierra. Right, Sierra had, you know, a couple tough games early, and then they blew out their team in the semifinals. Set to play Kingsburg at 4 o'clock. 17-13 overall record. We were able to broadcast their game against Emmanuel, their home game against Emmanuel that they won, and it felt like the team really clicked in the second half of that game, and they've been on quite a tear. So, Coach Bergstrom, first of all, thanks for taking the time. Obviously, this is a huge day for you and your program, but thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Paul.
No, absolutely. So, where are you guys right now? What are you guys doing? Are you at Kingsburg? Are you meeting first? Or what time are you heading over to Selland Arena?
Yeah, so right now I'm currently at home. I'm with my daughter, Ellen, and wife, Sarah. My players are eating a good breakfast together right now. We're going to do a little shoot around at our place at around 12:15, and then we're going to eat some lunch together and then head on up and try to get there before the game, before it starts, so we can kind of watch up their warm-ups and watch a little bit of that game.
Were you able to get any sleep last night? What did last night look like? Were you just going over game plans and going over scenarios in your head?
Yeah, we were hanging out together as a team again, and coaches were kind of in one corner watching a little bit more film, but I slept like a baby. Yeah, we're locked in. We're ready to go. It's going to be a fun day.
No, it absolutely is. I want to go back to when you first saw the brackets come out. I mentioned how you guys have been playing the best basketball of the season. When you guys noticed that you were the 11th seed in D3, when you studied the rest of the bracket, what stood out to you?
Well, we definitely were not looking at Sierra's side of the bracket. We were solely focused on North High at the time. Honestly, we were just, throw out the seeds. We were just happy that we were playing good basketball at the end of the season. We were happy to move on up to D3 because I think there's the middle part of the season. We were thinking that we were probably going to get bumped down to D4. So we were just happy to be able to be playing good enough basketball to get back up into Division 3.
So in your bracket, there's to me, there's a lot of unfamiliar teams, to be honest. So there was a 3-seed South and Redwood, obviously from Visalia, and you took on North, traveling to North. And there was Garces and Lompoc and Independence and Atascadero. So not a lot of teams that we're familiar with here in the Fresno and Clovis and obviously like the Kingsburg-Selma-Dinuba area. You guys defeated North 54-43. Then you defeated South 68-61. And then two Independents who I thought – was one of the top teams. Obviously, they're the 2-seed, but I thought they were going to make a serious run to the title. You guys took care of business to beat them 59-52. First of all, what clicked with those guys during those games? Was it a combination of dudes hitting shot? Was it playing tough defense? Was it not being intimidated? All of the above?
I think the number one key to our run so far is we've just been completely locked in with our defensive game plan. Especially with Independence High, they started out hot. It was a 14-4 start. And we just kind of regrouped. And then, from that point on, like our game, like they executed the game plan. They got three really great playmakers on Independence. And our focus was just to make them take really tough shots. They take a ton of mid range. And so we're just contesting all of it, boxing out. And the guys just really were focused in on that. And, yeah, our offense is definitely – I mean, that's been the biggest change over the last month and a half is our offense has started clicking. We've been making the extra pass a lot more consistently. Our decision-making has been much, much better compared to the middle part of the season. So it's everything's just kind of clicking at the right time, and we're just really locked in right now.
No, you are. You absolutely are. And when did you – I mentioned that second half of the Emmanuel game, and you switched up a couple things defensively. Maybe your rotations, changed at that moment. But at what point do you felt like, man, obviously you beat, you went on road and beat North. But at what point it's like, man, this team, if everybody's buying in, we're going to make a serious run. I mean, it was obviously before the playoffs, right? Was there a specific moment you could think of where you guys really locked in?
Yeah, so I think we lost to Emmanuel at Emmanuel. That was kind of one of the lower points because I think that was a 4-game losing streak. And then we had some team chemistry meetings trying to figure out some stuff. But after that game, we lost to Hanford West, but I thought we started playing really well. We just weren't scoring the ball. We lost that game, but I could tell that we were already turning the corner. And honestly, like it's all credit to the guys. Like I've been telling them, like we've been doing the right things, like this whole year, like the year of 2023. After the new year, we just came back and we just were doing the right things. We're losing games, but we're doing all the right things at practice. We're doing all the right things in the game. It just wasn't translating to wins yet. And then we probably the biggest turning point was when we beat Sierra Pacific. We beat them at home by 3. And then at that point, we just had the confidence, okay, this is what we've been talking about. Just keep doing the right things, and eventually it's going to come through. And then we came back and beat Selma, and then we were feeling really good about ourselves, and it's just been continuing to grow, really, into the playoffs.
Talking with Kingsburg boys basketball coach Phil Bergstrom, and I hear that your guy, Connor McFall, right, you want your seniors and your best players to step up in the playoffs, but I hear he's playing some dangerous basketball right now. When you're watching a player like that just perform at, the highest level that he can, I mean, how fun is that for you and your coaching staff?
Oh, it's great for me because I get to just let him play basketball. Like, Connor is just a gamer. He's one of the most competitive players that I've ever coached, like in-game competition. No, like no one's ever going to be able to rival that. So it's been fun to really see him take ownership of being a leader on this team, especially during this run. So yeah, he's just playing great basketball. He's trusting his teammates. He's making great decisions. But he's really been a key part of our offense, but man, it's the team has really come together. Team defense has been the focal point for this run.
And obviously the team is more than Connor McFaul, but some other guys have definitely stepped up. I know that Jimmy Cranford has. He's been playing like a beast down underneath, and Noah Brown and Max Workington have been playing really good ball as well, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Cranford's been playing out of his mind right now. Like, same thing, just competition. That's what I love about this group is, like, they've all played in huge games, you know, like in basketball and other sports. Like, Jimmy's a big-time football player. I got guys that, like, Noah, Jimmy, and Connor were all three of them on the team as sophomores when we won Valley, and then we made the Southern California Regional Championship and won that. So they've, you know, seen those moments. And I got guys that have on the team that have played in like Little League World Series games and won that. And like, so it's just a team that's full of guys that have played in big games before. So no one's shying away from anything right now.
And are you going to be playing your freshman that you brought up, Jensen Hirschkorn? He's getting some minutes, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's come in and I mean, it's unbelievable. Like I told him the other day, like, this is like your fault. You're forcing me to play you all these minutes, you know, like I brought him up thinking he was going to help us on offense. And he's been one of our best defenders during this run. So he's been playing great and just adding kind of to the tenaciousness on defense.
You're playing at 4:00. You're playing the number one ranked team, Sierra, in the division. What have you told the guys about preparing for Celand Arena? It's a different beast. I was there yesterday. First of all, I got to tell you, it's going to be cold. It is cold in Celand Arena right now. So be prepared for that. I really didn't talk to any players or coaches about that. But, man, as a fan and sit down there, it felt like you're at a hockey game, to be honest. But what have you told your players about playing on that type of a stage where the court's longer, you know, the backdrop is different? Have you talked to your players about any of those conditions?
Yeah, we talked a little bit. And by the way, I appreciate your tweet last night about the temperature in there. I sent that out and I tried to tell as many people about bringing, you know, extra layer. So appreciate that. But, you know, I mentioned the little lip that you have to run onto as you run onto the court. So hopefully none of our guys are going to be tripping when they run onto the court during warmups. We've talked about the length of the court, but honestly, like, we played at North High, and North High has an extremely long court as well. It's pretty much college-sized court over there, so they've seen that. And on it, I didn't want to like blow it up too much. Yeah, there's not the walls on the baselines like they're used to, but you know, three-point line is the same, the free throw line is the same. I think you can get into trouble when you start overthinking that kind of stuff. So we're just going to play basketball. We're going to trust our defense, and we're going to just trust each other and make extra passes and, you know, not think about Celand Arena too much. It's just a basketball game between, you know, two really good teams that want to win.
You could always bring your tape measure and do the Hoosiers. Walk onto the court and, you know, drop the tape measure from the rim down the field. Still 10 feet. Still 10 feet, just like 100%. The gym at Kingsburg. All right, a couple more questions for you, Coach. You know, Sierra's got a dude. They got a dude named Logan Kilbert, who you're well aware of, averaging about 30 points a game, just under 30 points. You know, obviously you don't have to give away your game plan, but what's the best way to prepare for a player that you know is going to get he's going to have the ball in his hands for a lot of the minutes tonight?
Yeah, so it's not one person shutting him down. It's a team that is ready for what he's going to bring to the table. He's extremely fast. He's extremely physical. He's got great size. We're going to play very physical. We're going to play straight up. We're going to be getting back on defense. So, you know, it's nothing like, I don't know, it's not a secret. It's just We just got to be completely locked in. We got to know where he is. But like you said, like, it's not just him. It's, they got some other guys on that team that can play as well. And so you just got to know where their guys are and be locked in on our game plan.
Absolutely. Well, the Kingsburg High boys are definitely locked in. You're not playing like an 11 seed, that's for sure. It's going to be a really good game. 4 o'clock, head on down to Sound Arena. Make sure you guys are there early. Bring some warm clothes, right? I saw even a few people in the stands that were wearing beanies. And, you know, I shaved my head, and, I might even be wearing a beanie for the broadcast. It's that cold. But anyway, Coach Burstrom, thanks for taking the time. You got a big day ahead of me, and I'll see you later this afternoon.
Okay, appreciate it, Paul.
You bet. All right, Coach Phil Bergstrom, Kingsburg Vikings will take on Sierra at 4 o'clock today. Coming up after the break, Mo Trigero, Carruthers Girls Basketball. Dad Larry is here as well. You know her as one of the star players in the Central Section. That's close to 2,000 points this year. We're approaching. Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Got a little bit of a technical issue at the beginning of the show. Hopefully you guys are able to hear the show on 1430 ESPN. The rain knocked out the terrestrial. Ooh, that's a big word. That's a big word you use in radio, right? That's the radio station itself. Knocked out the system last night. Usually happens when there's a hard downpour. But hopefully you guys are able to listen to the show online, on your phone, or on the computer. And I think we're back online, but thank you guys for sticking with us. Again, 2 hours of pure high school sports talk here on 1430 ESPN. Tonight we're going to be broadcasting the games. Make sure you guys tune in. The girls will be playing at 6 o'clock. That is Clovis West, number 1, and number 2 Clovis, just the way we thought it would play out. There's going to be a ceremony in between those games honoring three men for their lifetime accomplishments, and then the boys' game will begin around 8 o'clock. Gabe Camarillo and I will be on the call. I want to welcome Mo Trigero to the show. This is actually her second time, so when she came in, right now with her dad, Larry, here to First String Sports. I said, you're not a rookie anymore. You've done this before. You've gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of years. You're a very blessed woman, and it's because of your hard work. So, first of all, you guys had practice this morning.
Yeah.
Because you guys are getting ready for state. You guys lost to Clovis West you guys were the 8 seed. You lost to number 1 Clovis West in D1 title. We'll get into that a little bit. But practice this morning, how did it go? What were you guys working on? It must be weird, though, not knowing who you're playing or preparing for, right?
Yeah, for sure. So we're kind of just all week, we've just been like honing in on our skills and what we can do to be better. And I mean, you can't really game plan for a game you don't know.
How cold was it? Was it in the Carruthers gym, your practice? How cold was it in that gym?
Oh, it's hot in there.
It's hot?
Yeah.
Turn up, Coach Almeida cranks up the heater? All right, makes it a little uncomfortable for you guys. Did you make any half-court shots?
Not today. Didn't shoot any today.
So that's been a tradition this year before games, mm-hmm. and your shoot around to see who can make the first half court shot. How many shots does it usually take you before you hit one?
Usually
on their fourth or fifth try?
No, usually we don't even get through, like, you shoot them one at a time. Usually, like, we don't even get through the whole team once before someone makes it. It's only happened one time where we just, it took us a little bit. But
so you don't have a very huge team this year, right? I'm talking about numbers, maybe 12? Are you sitting up 11?
11 now, I
sitting
think.
Sitting up 11. But, yeah, I do want to talk a little bit more. We're going to get into a lot of fun things as well. So, I mean, a lot of talk in the airwaves and online, about your placement in Division I. You guys had an incredible season. You've been dominant, you know, from Divisions 5 all the way now to Division I. But I'm sure there's a lot of emotions before and after that game. Now that it's been about a week, right, since that game. And you've moved on, so to speak, and, you know, you've had practice, you're preparing for state. What was kind of your takeaway of playing in that game against Clovis West?
Well, first of all, I was really upset about that loss, too, because I don't feel like we gave them our best shot. I think we could have played a lot better than we did, and personally, me too, and as a team. So I think I was just really upset after that, and it just, like, I mean, I obviously want to win no matter what I'm doing, but that just, like, lit a new fire under us, kind of. I mean, we woke up and had practice the next morning at 6 a.m.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, we it just right back to it. We have a state championship to go chase down now, so, I mean.
Ah, I love it. I love it. That's the Carruthers girls mentality right there. And you got 16 points in that game. You played really, really well. But, yeah, going against a nationally ranked team, you know, it's got its pros and cons as well. And, you know, Clovis West is number one for a reason. But you guys, you know, I think a lot of people up and down the Central section and even the state, you know, really respect your program. And, you know, everybody knew what you were up against. And, you know, you guys really represented yourself very, very well in that game. I want to go back to shooting a little bit. So you mentioned half court, right? You guys do your half court shot stuff, and it doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take very long until somebody makes one. What's the most free throws you've ever made in a row or three pointers? You got numbers in your head for that?
Ooh, three pointers? I don't know. I don't remember how much it is threes, but I remember last time I was here, you challenged me.
I did.
To make 100 straight free throws in a row, and I haven't got there yet, but I got over 50. I know that.
All right, so I did that last year. I challenged you, so I've been waiting for this moment for a full year. Challenged you to see if you could make 100 free throws. You got over 50.
I did. I don't remember the exact number, but I was really mad.
All right, you know what? You're right. Right? When you have a goal and you get pretty close to that goal, you get a little mad when you miss that next one.
Yeah.
Even though you made 50 or so in a row, you're still mad that you missed that next one.
Yeah.
Because now you gotta,
you gotta start all over again.
Like, you gotta get hot again, and you gotta, you know, spend another 20 minutes to try to get up to 50.
Exactly.
All right. Do you remember the first time you picked up a basketball or first time that you, like, fell in love with basketball?
Yeah, I actually have a video of it. I was at the Clovis West camp, and I was probably in first grade, I think, second grade. And I had been around basketball, I mean, since I was
born,
yeah. And I remember it was like a fast break, and I mean, the rims were low and everything, and I pulled up and shot a three or whatever you want to call it, you know, and I made it, and like, it was just like all the players at the time like came and high-fived me, and they just like felt great, and I was just like, I remember after that too, like that's when Almeida was like, okay, you're not going to be a point guard, like you're going to be on the wing, obviously, because I like to score, and I remember that, and then, so I think since then, like since second grade, like basketball has just been everything to me. And then last year, during our Valley playoff run, it's when I realized, like, basketball really is everything to me. Like, it hurt not being able to play those first couple of games a lot. Like, it was crazy how much something can mean to you like that.
Talking with Mo Triguero, Carruthers girls basketball. And, you had that little injury with your wrist, right? And that was it your left or your right?
It was my right.
It was your right wrist. You like you said, you've been around basketball your whole life. You've gone to every camp imaginable, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You've played thousands of games. Do you think where you are competitively, right? Let me see if I can frame this the right way. What motivates you more? The thrill of winning, right? Or not wanting to lose?
I think not wanting to lose, for sure. Like, I love, like, it's a quote. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. Like, I love to win, but I hate losing even more. Like, no matter what it is, I can't stand it. I have two older brothers. I think that's where that comes from.
All right. Yeah, you know what? That's actually one of my questions I want to ask you. I wasn't sure. So you have two older brothers, right? So you're the only girl, right? You know, how many times did they make you cry, right? Were you able to get some punches in on those guys every once in a while?
Yeah, so I've always been, you know, daddy's a little princess, so he protected me pretty well, but they were mean for sure. I remember, like, one of my favorite things, too, was the middle kid, Carson, he went off to college.
The middle kid.
Yeah, he's definitely a middle kid, too. He went off to college, you know, he would always talk crap to me, tell my dad he was full of it, I was never going to be that good, you know, like, because, you know, my dad always talked me up. He was always proud. And he comes back to college, and he's like, hey, Mo, let's go to the gym. And I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. So we're shooting free throws. He thinks he's the best free throw shooter in the world. He's not. And he's like, come on, let's play one-on-one. And my dad's kind of like, you know, like, what are you doing? And he was like, come on, let's play one-on-one. And I kicked his butt, you know. And he came home, and I went upstairs, got in the shower, and he told me, he was like, Dad, like, when did this happen? You know, I kicked his butt. It was crazy. And it was, like, the best thing ever on cloud nine. He paid me not to tell my other brother. But
that is awesome. I want to bring Dad Larry in here. Larry's, you know, been involved with basketball for a long time coach. And you were on the 88 Washington Union? 85.
Yeah, I was a junior when Jervis Cole and Tony Harris and them were seniors. I was a junior. And then I helped, and then I went back and helped Coach Webb when we won the 96 and 99 state titles coaching.
Got it. And now come to the end, almost the end of your daughter's playing career. We got state playoffs to go through, but Do you have any fun stories about Mo, and you know, maybe something about how, you know, you're growing up playing basketball? Or is there a moment that you realize, hey, my kid might be okay?
Yeah, she was doing everything when she first started. We were big on. She played soccer. She did softball. We were big on her just getting active and getting involved. And about that time, she was a second grader. She was talking about, I started watching her do some things. And she used to get mad at me because I wasn't the most athletic guy. I couldn't outrun and outjump people, but I could shoot the rock. And so I was going to make sure that my kids all could shoot the rock. And so she would get mad because she'd go out to the three-point line and, like, twist her shoulders or use bad form. So I wouldn't let her shoot threes for a while. And then I finally got her a smaller ball and said, okay, if you want to shoot threes, you're going to use this ball. And she used to think, why am I doing that, Dad? I said, because your form's going to be picture perfect. And the week Coach Almeida, I'd been helping with the boys, and me and Everett Edlin, a longtime friend of mine, had kids go through Carruthers. We were helping with the boys program, doing the AAU local stuff. And she kept, hey, when are you guys going to help me? When are you going to help me? And I said, when Mo starts, we will. So she said we were going to start a second, third, and fourth grade team. Well, I'd never heard of that. It was fourth grade, actually, but Mo was getting roped in, so we'd all start helping. And so we were on vacation, actually, without Mo, with her older brother, for a birthday thing. And I made a text me and said, hey, let's get Mo start coming up to the gym. And so she went and practiced. My in-laws took her, and it was with a bunch of sixth graders at the time, which was Jackie Magana and Fish Ramirez, some of the kids that won the state championship in 2019. And I text her, hey, how'd Mo do? She goes, great. She's fearless. She got right in there. She's going to be fine. And so she says, we're going to COS on Saturday to play. And I'm like, you're crazy. I haven't even got girls together for this team yet. She goes, no. She's going to play with the sixth graders. So I was not real for it at first. And so we made an agreement. If the physicality didn't get to her, then that's fine. We can let her. It'll be good for her. So it was a week after the Clovis West camp, which fourth graders were on 9-foot rims. So she gets in the game. And as she is today, she has a nose for scoring. She goes right trying to score a basket and gets fouled. And she goes to shoot a free throw, and she's about 3 foot short. And she looks in the bleachers like, what the heck happened? And we had never told her, hey, you're playing on regular size rims or the regular basketball. So then I think Coach Almeida told her, just try to shoot underhand. Well, that was worse. But yeah, it went straight up in the air and almost hit her on top of the head. But it was that was kind of the turning point. And, you know, as your own kid, you're always proud of your own kids, but I've never been, I'm adamant against daddy ball and all that other stuff. So I'm probably her worst critic, but when other people that I respect in basketball started coming up to me like, hey man, your daughter is really good. And then I started looking at it with a little bit of a different scope. And, I used to tease, especially Carson, her middle brother, Braden, a little bit, but I used to tell him, you need to get her autograph before it's going to cost money. And they never said their sister sucked, but they always said, you know, like, she's good, Dad. I don't know if she's that good. And that moment happened when Carson went off to college, and he's like, Dad, I'm never going to tell my friends this, but she just whooped me bad.
Yeah.
And so, but I got to say, they're her two biggest fans, and they haul her to the gym to shoot, and they rebound for her, and pretty much do whatever they want for.
And I'm glad, Larry, that you mentioned that about, you know, daddy ball, and you could be the harshest critic as well. You know, my girls grew up playing basketball as well, and, you know, you mentioned the Clovis West camps. My girls went to those as well. And I remember a moment, too, that it was kind of one of those parent moments where it was after a game. It was a junior high game, and my middle daughter, Alex, and we were driving home, and I was kind of saying, you know, you could have done this, you could have done that, you could have done, and she was silent. Silent. And then she just turned to me and said, Dad, I just want to have fun. And I'm like, oh, even to this day, yeah. Right? I remember that moment, and it hit me. And it's like, hey, when it comes down to it, right? Kids just want to have fun. They want to love the game. They want to love their teammates. They want to have success, right? And all those things. So those are important things. So that's something that I've remembered for a long time. But I want to ask you too, like, you've been, you know, on that piggyback on that, you're coached up pretty hard. Right? I mean, I've been to some Carruthers girls basketball games, and you guys are coached up hard. Do you think, you know, that just it might be hard in the moment, right, to hear some of those things, but how has that made you a better basketball player and a better person?
I think it's made me a great basketball player, obviously, because I know my coaches put in as much work as I do, so I just, I mean, you respect them, and I mean, Almeida, obviously, like, since the start. But it's definitely made me a better person, made me a stronger person. Like, my mentality is so different from even, like, coming in my freshman year. I mean, Almeida's always coached me, but, you know, when you get to high school, it's different. And, like, I just think I'm stronger mentally on the court and off the court. Like, I can pretty much get through anything. And just, like, me and Almeida, for sure, like, we might not always get along or agree on everything, but, like, we share our love for winning, and I know that's true. So I know, like, we just have that respect, and, I mean, I know she's a good coach, so.
And, Larry, I want to ask you this, too. You were a basketball player. You've coached the boys.
Yep.
And obviously now with the girls. And I've had a lot of conversations with people about this. I'd love to know your perspective. The difference between coaching boys and girls, right? It is different. So girls, if you are on the same page with them, if you look at the huddles for a girls game and you're on the same page, it's eye contact, right? They'll run through a wall for you. So
yep.
What have you seen really quick about the differences between coaching boys and girls?
Well, I tell people that I coached boys for a long time, and I'd never go back after coaching girls.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I hear that.
Girls, the biggest thing that I get on them all the time about is they're pleasers, and they want to do everything exactly like you want. I got a good lesson when she was in fourth grade. We drew an inbounds play up at the end of a half, and it was for this girl that could shoot three-pointers pretty well. And she caught the ball on the three-point line, and there was zero players between her and the basket. She could dribble two dribbles and get a layup, and she shoots a three. Yeah. And I said, Michaela, why did you not go shoot a layup? Coach Larry, you told me shoot a three. So at that point, the light clicked. Okay, with girls, it's a little bit different here because they really – and that's the point. And the thing we got when she was younger, she would get offended because dad was yelling at her. But I told her, when I coach you in travel or at the junior high, when I was coaching her, I'm not in the gym thinking my daughter turned the ball over or she missed a shot. I'm thinking one of my best players did.
Correct, yeah.
And so we ended up we found a good common balance as dad and daughter, where in the gym we're coach and Mo, and when we leave we're daddy daughter. And if she wants to talk basketball, and sometimes dad can't hold it back, and we still talk basketball, but it's kind of also cool as the older she's gotten, like, we talk real basketball. And we were just talking on the way up here about things that we did in practice today, and it's fun for me. I couldn't be more proud of the dad, not just as the obviously she's a stud athlete, but the person she is. And in the world today, my former coach, one of my former coaches, Eric Cedarquist from Washington, texted me the other day because I told him that her teammates generally like her. And to me, when I saw them hoist her at the softball diamond, at Bulldog Diamond, when they won softball, to see her teammates hoist her up, I'm more proud of that than anything, especially, like my coach said, it's a me-first world nowadays. And to see – so I don't take credit for that. People want to give us credit as parents, and we've done our – I just feel like we've done our job. I give it – it's a testament to her that she works that hard, wants to win. And I think most of the people that play with her realize when she's a little bit hard to live with, that's because she wants to win.
Absolutely. I was to talk with Larry Trigueiro and his daughter, Mo. I want to ask you, what has been your most memorable game in your career so far? I went to your game against Orcutt Academy last year when you guys won Valley, but I mean, I'm sure you got a lot more. That was one that I was able to watch. But what's been your most memorable game?
I wouldn't say it's my most memorable. I'm going to say it's my most happy memory of a game, because I don't want to talk about a bad one. But I think it's definitely the Valley Championship my freshman year that we won. That game was absolutely insane. Like, in the first half, Anissa was our starting point guard, still is. She was in foul trouble. Our best player is Jackie Kilo. She was in foul trouble. We were down, like, I think 10-2 to start the game. And, I mean, that's obviously a whole different environment in Selen. Like, it's something new, and we were really, really young.
So was that would have been 19?
20. Her freshman year. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, I mean, things weren't looking good, but, you know, we weren't going to quit, and Almeida wasn't going to let us by any means. So we fought back. Chrissy had a great game. We fought back, and at the end, they had the ball with just, like, Sierra Pacific had the ball with just a couple seconds left. I think we were up 2 or 3 or maybe even 1. I don't remember. It was a really close game. It was a one-possession game, that's for sure. And, like, the feeling, like, winning that championship, it's all we have, like, my dad and I have talked about since I started playing basketball, was winning a Valley Championship. And I think, like that season, it was a goal always, and then that's, like, when it became an expectation. So then to reach that, it was crazy. Like, it's definitely my best basketball memory by far.
And last question here, college, right? So what's your future plans for college? I know you have state playoffs, like we mentioned, and softball season as well, but What are some potential colleges?
I mean, I hope to play basketball, but I want to study animal science, so that kind of narrows down my options a little bit. So I'm not sure exactly, but I'm hoping to play college basketball. Oh, that's for sure.
Awesome. That'd be awesome. Do you want to become a veterinarian, or you want to work out in the field, or?
I want to be an animal geneticist. So.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
It's pretty like complicated nowadays too. I think it's pretty cool. Like they can literally like hand pick what animals look like, pretty much.
Oh my God. Now we're getting into some, you know, next level stuff.
Yeah.
Here. Oh, that is awesome. All right, Mo, this has been a lot of fun. I've watched your career, since that freshman year, and it's been a pleasure. And Larry, thanks for coming in. Always love running to you. I'm sure I'll run into you a couple more hours here at Sellers Arena as well. So thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet. All right, great conversation. That was Mo Trigueiro, Father Larry, just basketball people all the way through. And, you love it when you have somebody that supports their kids and understands it and understands the power of community as well. And, Carruthers is a great community for sports, great community to live as well. So thanks to those guys for coming. Really a lot of fun. Coming up after the break, we talk with Gabe Camarillo. We got lots of more stuff to talk about here on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Jose Gonzalez Show every weekday at 7 a.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, hour number two was just a fun-filled hour. Love talking to Kingsburg Vikings boys basketball coach Phil Bergstrom. His team takes on Sierra, the number one seed. Vikings are 11th seed. That's a great story. I think that Selden Arena is going to be packed for that one. I know Kingsburg travels extremely well. I know Sierra is going to bring a lot of people down from the hills. Hopefully they'll be able to make it. The rain has stopped, so thankful for that. But I think that game is going to be a lights-out game at 4 o'clock. I had a great conversation with Mo Trigueiro and Dad Larry. And, Mo's one of those fiery competitors. And, when you get a female athlete locked in and determined, there's no stopping them. And she's, she's a really good athlete. So thanks to them for coming and sharing the headsets and, just came straight from practice. So thanks to Mo and Larry Trigueiro for coming on the show. Now I'll bring on Gabe Camarillo. You guys know him from Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabe Camarillo _. He's my partner in crime calling basketball games throughout the season. Gabe, so much stuff to talk about. Let me just throw a couple things at you really quick. The good stuff that's going on in the central section. So first of all, I need to mention the Clovis North girls soccer captured the D1 title. It's third in 4 years after defeating Liberty yesterday 1-0. Buchanan Wrestling, they're going to roll today for a seventh straight state title. Seven wrestlers have advanced. It looks like Clovis High most likely will finish third in wrestling. Clovis North boys are playing D1 finals today. That game is at Clovis East. Jose Gonzalez is going to be on that. That's the number one ranked team in the nation, guys. Clovis North. They're 23-0-1 playing Ridgeview. And then, oh my gosh, the incredible stuff that's happening at Selden Arena. Gabe, it's almost too much good stuff going on out there.
I'm on local sports overload. I'm just too much right now. My brain can't process it all. You got wrestling, soccer, basketball, baseball even, with Fresno State and high school starting their season. Softball, I mean, it's have we missed every sport? I mean, any sport at all? Is there any sport not playing? Football? Well, even football has 7-on-7 going on this weekend.
And, Gabe, I do have to mention that badminton is starting.
Oh, badminton
is starting, and I know that because my daughters are playing badminton this year.
What about pickleball? Pickleball is taking over the country from what I hear.
That's going to be next. We've talked about girls flag football, right, that's coming down the pike soon. Our central section can actually start girls flag football next year. But, hey, pickleball might be next. That thing is huge.
It is. You know what? And how about pinball? Are they into foosball? Is there foosball going on this weekend?
Foosball! Playing foosball, yeah. So, Gabe, I mean, just tons of great stuff. I want to actually start with Selden Arena. It's been since 2020, since section championships have been there. I got to be honest, that's my happy place. I have loved the Central Section Championship games at Sound Arena for years. I would go as a fan. I actually got to play in a Central Section Championship game. It was actually at Bullard in the late 80s. So, you know, it just brings up a lot of good memories. A lot of bad memories for people, too. I mean, we lost our Central Section Championship game in double overtime to Carruthers, right? So, anyway, just lots of memories. Just a great place to be. Where do you want to start talking about it? I mean, just the amount of let's just start with the Fresno County Office of Education, right? They have stepped up their game for sure. The court looks incredible. They got a red carpet. What else can you say about the great event that's going on right now?
The experience for all the student athletes, and the reason why is because there may not be another experience like this for the student athletes. You know, 1-2%, maybe that's a very small amount. Maybe it's like 3-5%. We'll play junior college basketball somewhere. We'll play Division I. We'll maybe have a chance to compete for a championship on a grand stage. But for the other 95% and maybe more, they won't get that chance. So this is their NCAA tournament, and they're treated like royalty. They are, you know, sequestered once they check in. They're sequestered into the rafters. They're watching the game before them. Then when that game ends, they get to go into a locker room, and it's like an NCAA tournament. Then you go into, you know, the tunnel, and they turn the lights off for you, and you enter into an arena like an NCAA tournament, and you're playing on a longer court. You're playing on an NCAA-sized court, 94 feet. So everything there is bigger and better, and that's why I like it, because it's for the student-athletes. You know, it may be cold in there. We may need to wear an extra jacket. It may be, you know, a little pricey online, Ticketmaster, but at the end of the day, it's all about the student-athlete, and what you pay to get in is what you're kind of giving to help make the student-athlete experience better, because I want to see full gyms tonight. I want to see a full Sound Arena crowd, because that's what the players deserve. And how about not just tonight, but throughout the day, because, Paul, we have some pretty good games going on. I mean, you could even say what we're having right now with Arvin and Reedley, with Reedley having never won a Central Section girls basketball championship. It'd be really cool if they can win it this morning.
Oh, absolutely, and I think the last update we had was at halftime it was 26. Reedley was winning 26-23. I think I misspoke too, Gabe. I mentioned in the opener that it was since 1983, and that was the boys. So it's been since 1983 since a Reedley basketball team has won a Central Section title.
Yes.
So, yeah, you mentioned the red carpet. You mentioned, you know, run onto the court and the music's thumping and, you know, the smoke machine is out there. And our guy Kevin Miller does an incredible job in between halves, getting student sections involved and having games out there. And then when the kids win, right, they're able to celebrate on the court. They're handed their trophies, or their plaques, I should say, by the CIF. And the county office is in charge of picking a player of the game, so to speak, someone that represents the school well, so they're able to go out there on the court and get their picture taken. And then the winning team gets to run to the, I don't know, what do we call that? The stage area, and Kevin Miller gets to ask them questions. So that it's just, it's done big time. I can't speak enough good things about the event. So again, guys, it's what, $14 to get in for a full day of basketball? I mean, what's that, two trips to Starbucks, right? So spend the money, go there to Sound Arena. It is a fun deal. We're very excited about bringing you guys the games tonight on 1430 ESPN. Gabe, I want to mention too, a lot of storylines, always storylines with these teams playing in the Central Section Championship. But one that's caught my attention are the Tehachapi girls. They were 26-1 before playing Liberty in this game. And, you know, when we talk about rankings all season and we see a school like Tehachapi, you know, ranked pretty high and keep winning games, are like, okay, are these girls really that good, right? You always have doubts if you're not able to see them in person or if you text somebody. And, you know, I mean, that's the only way you could get information. But I was super impressed by that school. But what a whirlwind couple of days for that program with travel and, you know, with being possibly seated, you know, or playing in a division that's too high for them. But what a great story the Tehachapi girls are. I know they're disappointed when they lost to Liberty, but there's a lot of good stuff going on with that program.
You know, there's so much I could say on this topic, because Liberty deserved to win last night. Like, they played really well, and they had – several chances where you thought maybe Tehachapi would take over. I think the closest Tehachapi got was 3 points. They were down three with a couple minutes left in the game. But, I mean, you have players like Faith Curry. Faith Curry with a double-double, 18 points and 12 rebounds. You have, you know, Kaylee Batten with 13 points. You have Emma Frederick with 13 points. Like, you know, Liberty put up a good fight worthy of a championship. So how can you say they don't deserve to win a championship? You also have to look at the other side of the court, right? Liberty's playing down in D2. I know their base was D2, but let's be honest, right? Liberty High School is a Division I overall school. They're a Division I school, like Clovis is, like Buchanan is, that's Liberty. And so playing in D2 in any sport for Liberty makes you raise an eyebrow, especially compared to a Tehachapi team that's historically D3, D4. And I think the head coach talked to some news outlets yesterday and kind of said, you know, this was our best team. We would have liked to see a better chance at winning a championship with this team that we had. I think his exact words were, it feels like a little bit of a punishment. And that's pretty, that's striking. To say something like that after a loss is striking. It comes off as sour grapes a little bit. I mean, because obviously he's not saying that if he wins, but it also has a hint of truth in there.
No, it does. And the coach is Scott Sheen. And, you know, one of the things I love to do, Gabe, during games is I love to watch coaches interact with players and referees and see how they coach. And he is a very calm guy. He's dressed in a, you know, long sleeve button down shirt and a tie. He looked really sharp, tall, and he did an excellent job, you know, just managing his team. His girls ran excellent sets and plays, and yeah, for him to say that calm, cool, and collectively, he wasn't super emotional. For him to say that, I think really speaks volumes. But a lot of their roster comes back, so I'm sure we'll be seeing more of the Tehachapi girls, you know, in the future. Gabe, I want to ask you too. A big game. Right, Clovis West girls and Clovis tonight, 6 o'clock. We've seen both of these teams multiple times. You were able to watch the Clovis and St. Joseph game. It was a really good game, and they ended up 63-60 to make it to the Cellon Arena. I've watched the Clovis West girls for years. Gabe, can you make a case for Clovis and what they have to do to win tonight?
They have to score a lot, I think, because Clovis West's defense is going to be a factor in this one. I was looking through the program for the Division I girls and Open Division girls because obviously last couple years it's been open. But looking at the championship game scores, Paul, these are really, really low-scoring games typically. I mean, look at last year's win over Bakersfield. 49-39, 53-36 against Clovis the year before that. That's actually on the higher end. Then some of the other scores, 45-30. 48-36, 54-22. These are going to be low-scoring games. And the two semifinals, you had Clovis West score 61 points, and you had Clovis High score 66 points. I think the reason why it's low-scoring in the championship games is because they're typically played at Cellon Arena, where, you know, it may be different for the shooters. I know I talked to Craig Campbell about this earlier this week, and he downplays the effects of Cellon Arena, probably because that's his second home. He always plays there every year, so of course he's going to downplay it. He's used to it. His girls are used to it. He teaches them how to get used to it. So I absolutely believe that's the case for Clovis West. As for Clovis High, though, those girls aren't used to it because Clovis High is in their third straight section final, but it's also, keep in mind, their first time in Cellon Arena. And the first time for Cooper Steele in Cellon Arena, first time for the coaching staff in Cellon Arena. This program is new to Cellon Arena, and Clovis West is not. Now, how much stock you put into that is up to you, but I would say that is an advantage for Clovis West. And they are just built on success. What I mean by that is every championship, they get better and they learn how to win a championship, and they're used to this. Tonight will not be too big of a stage for Clovis West because they're used to this stage. Now, how does Clovis High respond in this big stage? That's going to be whether or not Clovis High can pull off the upset.
No, I agree. There's lots of factors. And Gabe, you referenced the program, the 2023 Central Section Finals program. And this has been it's been 3 years since I've held one of these. And, man, this is something that I love to study. That's the nerd in me. I love to study this. And going back and looking at the past champions and who the coaches were, and there's lots of stuff that I forget. And looking at the recent championship history for the Open Girls Division and the Division I Girls, Clovis West dominates the page. They absolutely dominate the page. It's 2013 was the first year. Or I guess just I should say the year that has started the streak. They're gunning for their 11th straight. Go to 2010. Coach Craig Campbell beat Stockton. 2011, Hanford with Coach Tom Parrish beat Clovis East. And then Tom Parrish the next year with Hanford beat Stockdale. And then it's just been Clovis West in the Division I girls. Open division as well. But this is, man, this is worth, to me, it's worth the price of admission getting this program, being able to look at all the past history. I think for Clovis West, Gabe, you're right. They've played in big games. They're used to the pressure. They have tradition and pedigree. And they don't want to be the team that breaks the streak either. They don't want to be known as the school that doesn't win a Central Section championship. You know, and I think they could beat you outside and inside with defense. They have that great combo with Toya Montgomery and Athena Tomlinson, but they have really good role players as well. And preparation for Clovis West is, to me, Coach Craig Campbell is, you know, his attention to details is what separates him. I've seen, Gabe, 8 pages of game notes that he gives to his players to study. And I've seen them study these game notes before their game. I've seen them sit up there in Selden Arena and study 8 pages worth of game notes. So the preparation is just, it's next level stuff. Let's talk about the boys. All right, that's our marquee game, so to speak. It's the 8 o'clock game. Number 3 St. Joseph, who we've talked about all season, versus number 1 Clovis West. And I know Coach Vance Wahlberg, after their win against Stockdale, even said, hey, St. Joe's is a better team, even though Clovis West is the number 1 team, which was pretty funny for, you know, to hear from Coach Wahlberg. But if you know Coach Wahlberg, that doesn't really surprise you. You know, you've talked a lot to Coach Tom Mott. You've had him on your show a couple times. So make a case for the Knights in this one. What are their strengths?
Their strengths is their size, and it's their guys. But they don't have as many guys as Clovis West does. I'll say that. I'm looking at the roster right now. Julius Price, number 1. If you go to the game tonight, he's wearing number 1. He's a freshman, 6'3", very talented scorer. I think his forte is really setting other people up, because right now he doesn't need to be the guy. I think maybe when he becomes a senior, when Tunde graduates, he could develop into, you know, a more of an aggressive scorer. But he sets everyone up. He sets up number 2, Luis Marine, who is a 6'6", third-year varsity starter. You also got the other 2 bigs, Tunde Yusufu, 6'5". That's wrong. The roster has that wrong. He's like 6'6", 6'7", now. But Tunde Yusufu is the number 1 player in the class of 2025 as a small forward. And then you also have Caden Hamilton, 6'9". So what are these numbers? These are their heights. This is how tall St. Joseph is. That's my case. But I'm also going to give you my case for Clovis West. And this was pointed out to me yesterday by a Clovis West fan at Sound Arena. He had me write down who I would think is the difference maker for St. Joe's. And I wrote down 4 guys, because really, you know, those are the 4 of the 5 starters: Luis Marin, Julius Price, Tunde, and Caden Hamilton. Those are the 4 difference makers. Then he had me do the same for Clovis West. And I found that I had about 8 to 9 to 10 Clovis West guys I circled. Isaac Martinez, Jackson Young, Marshall Sanders, DJ Stickman, Titus Kajabi, Zach Shohan, Dante Robinson, Jace Kellogg, Skylar Redwood, Michael Espinoza. You know, Markel Sanders, like Cooper Ville. I just named 11 guys that I think are going to see the court tonight for Clovis West. Also, keep in mind the court is 10 feet longer. So it's going to be all about conditioning. It's all going to be about getting up and down the court. And how fresh is Clovis West going to be when they come in waves, right? They don't come in just 1 and 2 at a time. St. Joe's does that. In fact, St. Joe's might play just 6 to 7 guys, and that's it tonight. But Clovis West is going to play 11 to 12 guys. How's St. Joseph going to respond to that? You also have to keep in mind, from what I heard yesterday at practice, Clovis West did not touch the basketball at all. They just ran. They conditioned. They ran yesterday, Paul. Think about that. If Clovis West is running instead of shooting the basketball, and I'm sure they did do some drills with shooting the basketball, but if they put an emphasis on running yesterday, what do you think they're going to do tonight? Run.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, and that's a very good point. I brought that up earlier about the court being longer, 10 feet longer. I know Central High School has a longer court as well. I gotta favor Clovis West as far as the conditioning, being able to you know, play defense on a bigger court. That just makes things a lot more open. For me, like, Clovis West is the heart of a champion. If I go back again, looking at the Central Section recent championship history, Clovis West won last year. They beat St. Joe's in that incredible game, 72-63 in overtime. You see a lot of, you know, Clovis West in there. Coach Vance Wahlberg, Bob Barnett said this last night. If you see Bob Barnett at Sound Arena, you know, he's wearing his famous blue satin jacket that says Central Section Historian. I love that thing. And he said, and he made sure to tell me that I should say this on my show, Vance Wahlberg is the best boys basketball coach in Central Section history, right? And the pedigree is, I mean, it's off the chart. The guy doesn't lose in Central Section championships. He is 10-3 total in championship games. So Coach Vance Wahlberg knows what he's doing. The pressure defense is relentless. There's something I'll remember, Gabe. I don't know if I've said this on air, but in the year 2000 or maybe it was 2001, I can't quite sure, we were able to go, my wife and I, we didn't have kids yet. We were newly married. We got to go watch them play Modern Day in the SoCal Finals at Long Beach. And there was and Long Beach won. They had better athletes, and they ended up winning that game. But there's a quote by one of the Modern Day players that resonated me to this day. And he said, the defense was on me so hard, I felt like I was playing against six players. Right? And that's what Clovis West brings out there. It is absolutely relentless. You talk about how deep they go, Gabe. You mentioned those players. They'll probably, Coach Wahlberg will probably substitute 10 to 11 guys by the end of the first quarter, right? Or play 10 to 11 guys, I should say. Their defense is, you know, it's built for games like this. And if you could wear down a team like St. Joseph's, that's a definite advantage for Clovis West. And they could win with different guys scoring the basketball. They don't need a 20-point guy. Like, I think St. Joseph needs Tune to score 25. They need Price to score 15 to 20. For Clovis West, they could have different guys lead their team in scoring. And I think it won't really matter. Yeah, I just think it's going to be a great basketball game tonight, Gabe. I can't wait to call the game for you, game with you. I know at halftime there's going to be a presentation to honor some guys, but man, it's just an incredible atmosphere, and I'm glad these kids get to play on that court.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big atmosphere because I think a lot of people are coming to tonight's game. we've been talking about it all season long, right? I mean, under our breath, we knew that St. Joseph was number one. Clovis West was number two. I know Clovis North knocked off Clovis West once this season. Memorial had a nice end of the season. But at the end of the day, I do think we're getting the best two Central Section boys basketball teams on the court at 8 o'clock tonight. And after tonight, we'll see who's really number one.
No, I agree. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good job by you, my friend. We'll see you, I don't know, in a couple hours.
Yes, I'll be at Sound Arena. And like I talked about, hope everyone's out there tonight. It's all about the student athletes. And really, there's going to be 3 to 4 really good games to end Sound Arena. So don't get there just for the D1 games. Get there early enough to see some of the other action.
No, absolutely. So we're going to, again, mention Sierra and Kingsburg. Do we have an update on the Reedley and Arvin game, Gabe?
None I haven't seen yet, but we'll keep you updated, obviously, during the show.
Absolutely. So McFarland, again, and Madera South at 12 o'clock. Porterville, Bakersfield, Christian at 2. Kingsburg, Sierra at 4. And then followed by the girls and the boys game. All right, Gabe, we'll see you in a few hours.
All right, thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to talk more about high school basketball with John Hines, the head boys basketball coach at Clovis High, coming up on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
On to the bottom of hour number two. You're in the Central Valley Sports Report. Definitely want to continue to thank First String Sports for being my day one sponsors. Come down here, First String, the weather has cooperated a little bit. And come on down here, First String Sports. This is definitely the place to shop for all your high school sports needs. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. When you walk into the store, it's veer to the right. You can check out all the cool Letterman's jackets. I'm looking at San Joaquin Memorial, Sierra Pacific, Clovis West, Tranquility, Parlier, Corcoran, Buchanan, obviously, Bullard, Fresno Christian. People are coming in and out all day, getting their Letterman's jacket fixed up, getting the patches put on. Can get anything that you want sewn on them. First String, they've been awesome to me for my entire radio career here. Love how having my show hosted here. And I want to bring in Coach John Hines. Coach John Hines is the head boys basketball coach at Clovis High. You know, he's a Valley guy through and through. Went to Clovis West High School as an assistant there for a long time with Tom Ulrich. And has been the boys basketball coach at Clovis High for a few years now. And so love bringing John on the show. He has a wealth of knowledge, and we'll be chopping it up about the high school championship games. But John, man, dude, what's up with the weather? How cold is it, man?
Hey, first off, thanks for having me on, Paul. I appreciate it.
You bet.
It's freezing. Golly. Walking around campus yesterday, we're trying to get a lot of stuff done for the students so they could have a great time tonight as our Cougars take on Clovis West. And so I'm just running about campus up and back, and, you know, it's just wet everywhere. And the problem with it was, you know, wet is one thing, but it's windy and cold. Shoot.
It's biting cold. So my brother lives in Big Bear, California, and that's what it felt like. When you walk out the door in places like that, it just hits you. It doesn't matter how many layers of clothes you have on, but it just hits you, and that's what it felt like it is here in Fresno. You walk out, and boom, like instantly your ears and your nose are cold. It's pretty crazy. And yesterday was, I mean, walking to Celent Arena was a challenge in itself, right? You parked, and it was raining, and you had to jump over a couple puddles. But what a great experience it is. I'm you know, we've talked about all show how happy we are that the games are back at Celent Arena. Now, if I'm saying that from a media perspective, from a fan's perspective, maybe even from a parent's perspective, right, where you pay one ticket and you can watch as many games as you want. You're able to see, you know, how the other schools and programs are going. But from a coaching perspective, John, like if you're a higher seed, you kind of like to have that home game in the championship. So, you know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, and there's a few different ways you could go on it. You know, you take a look. I'm checking social media yesterday and today at 10 a.m. You know, you've got games that are being played at 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and it's so cool for the players, honestly, and players and coaches. It's a really great experience. It really is, and I don't want anything to be taken away from that. But as a fan, you know, it's tough to get all your student body out there at an early time. You know, you're trying to pack a big arena. You know, the scores oftentimes are lower because the shooting's more difficult for whatever reason. And so, you know, I know this for a certainty that many schools, especially the smaller schools, would enjoy being able to have, you know, their 800 to 1,000 seat gym jam-packed with their fans rooting them on, and they take home a good amount of money after the game. The kids are able to cut down the net and celebrate with their families right there on the court. So there are a lot of pros to having them in their home gyms. But then when you get to the bigger games, and I say bigger as in bigger schools and enrollments, you know, with the D2, D1, like tonight, for instance, there's going to be a great crowd at the Clovis West St. Joe's boys game. And that's partly going to be because, A, the talent is so great. Clovis West is a name brand in the area, and so is St. Joe's, but they're an out-of-town area, but they bring a lot of firepower with them. But before them, you got Clovis West girls and Clovis High girls. And so that's going to bring a great crowd as well. So those kids are going to be playing in front of 5,000 to 7,000 people. And that's an experience that 99.9% of them are never going to get anywhere else. So that is a pretty sweet opportunity for them. But when you have games like last night, Porterville and AG were playing, and it's a great basketball game, two good teams, but there's not a whole lot of people there because those are two out-of-town, out-of-area teams playing 8 p.m. on a Friday night. And so you don't quite get the same type of environment that they would have probably gotten if you played that at Arroyo Grande.
I agree. Yeah, very fair points. And I see the pros and cons for both. And I think a lot of it too, John, is, you know, if you're able to bring Reuters bus. So, you know, I was at the Kerman basketball game against Tulare Western. Kerman, they brought Reuters buses, right? Their principal is Matt Taves. Who I know. So we were talking, and he's like, yeah, we're bringing Reuters buses. And it showed in their student section. And what they – actually, their plan was, then they're going to go watch Exeter and their girls play in the championship soccer game. So they had that all planned out, right? The admin did an incredible job. The cheerleaders were there. And then Porterville, too, last night, they brought a ton of kids. So their student section was packed. But you're right, the coastal schools and some of those schools – you know, that have a longer drive. And again, the weather, I'm sure, played a big factor. It's a little awkward, to be honest, when you don't see that student section packed, right? You just see a couple kids that made the trip. You're like, oh, shoot. You know, good job by those kids that decided to come. But, you know, it's a little awkward. You know, the other student section is a little more louder. So I get that. And then on the other side, too, John, like when you're able to celebrate on your home court, like we were able to witness last year with Clovis West beating St. Joseph's, where the admin is like, okay, cool, we'll let the kids come on the court and celebrate with their peers, yeah, with their classmates, and able to cut down the nets. Parents are able to stay on the floor for 45 minutes, an hour after the game, and take pictures and all that, yep, stuff. That stuff is really neat. So obviously there's lots of pros and cons to each, and then that home court advantage is big. So I definitely could see both sides.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you ask, Arroyo Grande took care of business last night, but
they
you ask them, they're like, hey, we're the higher seed. We'd like to be playing our game. We'd like to have a home court advantage. And obviously there wasn't a home court advantage because of the student section and the fans and all that stuff, because of the travel. But yeah, I mean, that experience that you just talked about after the game at your home court, that's incredibly memorable. And, you know, I remember the last time that happened, so they started selling in 05, and in 04, I got that opportunity with my teammates and my family at Clovis West. And so that is an experience that will last forever.
And tonight's game, you mentioned the girls, Clovis and Clovis West are playing. You know Clovis very, very well, obviously. What are some of the key things that Clovis needs to do tonight? Obviously, they split in the regular season. They were co-track champions. But what are some of the keys that Clovis has to do really, really well to be Clovis West tonight?
Yeah, I think the first thing that they'll need to do is be a little bit more balanced. You know, in the first game, they had great balance. They've got five starters who are all studs, and they got great contributions in round one from everybody. Now, Sadie didn't have a huge scoring night in round one, but she got others involved, and that got, you know, Devin Miller and Yaz Aguilera, and you know, they were able to put points on the board, and they hit threes in that first game. And Clovis West in the second game, and Coach Campbell, and to their credit, did a really good job taking those shooters away for the most part, and made it, you know, made them beat them with just Sadie or AK, and you know, it's a lot tougher when it's just one or two. And so tonight, Clovis is going to have to get everybody involved. They're going to have to be balanced. And I think Coach Steele has done a really good job of working on things to get them prepped and ready for that.
And talk to Coach Phil Bergstrom in hour number one as Kingsburg Vikings are playing number one Sierra. And I threw this question at him. I'm like, hey, how much do you talk about how different the environment is at Celand Arena compared to your home court? He's like, well, I didn't want to make – too big of a deal of it, right? Obviously, it's still 10 feet high and all that. But, you know, what do you say as a coach, right, in your opinion? Do you downplay it? Do you really, you know, pay attention to all the little details? What is your take on that?
Yeah, and I think it's all dependent on how experienced your kids are and how many times they've maybe been there. You know, you look at Clovis West, and those girls are going to have zero fear in their eyes. They've been in that environment, even though it's been, you know, the seniors – they've only got an opportunity to play once or twice. So for the most part, you're right, actually. Everybody has seen it maybe for the first time. But it is different, you know. And the thing about it is you just tell your leaders, you tell your players who are studs to go out and set the tone for everybody else. You know, if you do your job, they're going to follow. But it is, as far as walking onto the court and looking around, it is a pretty cool experience. And, you know, you don't try and downplay it by any means. You just let them know it is another regular game, but you want them to also soak it up and enjoy it because it's an opportunity to do something that they've been working extremely hard for and for a long time for. So you do want them to have a good time with it and enjoy it, but, you know, in the same sense, you don't want them to be anxious and nervous. I don't know. I've been there quite a bit, but my teams have always, the ones who have been successful have been senior led and have kids who know what they're doing, who can show the younger ones what to do.
Yeah, and the court is in great shape. Obviously, it's new. Yeah. It looks different, right? It's kind of weird to look out there and not see that big bulldog in the middle of the court. But, yeah, it looks in great shape. It feel like Celand Arena is brighter even, right? It just looks brighter, and the kids are, you know, they're not slipping at all. And I think there was a board that was actually, you know, starting to come up in 2020. So that's all fixed. So the court is in great shape. I want to ask you, too, John. John Hines, head boys basketball coach at Clovis High. You're very familiar with the Clovis West boys program. You know, you played there. You're an assistant there. You know Coach Vance Wahlberg well. You've played them twice this year. You've played them, you know, in league. But what makes them so difficult to game plan for? Or is game planning pretty, you know, you kind of know what's coming, but when you play on the court, it's a different ball game. What's the case when you play against Clovis West?
You got a pretty good idea what's coming at you, you know, and that's the funny part. You know, they do things here and there. They make some tweaks, but that really what you prepare for is pace and pressure. And even if you do a really good job taking care of it 14 out of 15 times, well, the next 10 out of 20 go the wrong way and they hit you with a 6 to 12 point spurt. And they do that 3 or 4 times throughout the game. You look up, you're down 38 points. So, you know, people know what they're trying to do and they know what they're all about. It's about pace and poise, understanding when to take advantage and opportunities. And really you got to have pieces who are capable of doing that. And I definitely think St. Joe's has pieces who are capable of doing that. St. Joe's has played them multiple times over the last 3 years. And I know not just during regular season, but these are teams who have met over the summer. They've met in the fall. They actually met last year, obviously, at Clovis West. So the thing with Clovis West is you've got to get accustomed to what they're attempting to do to you. And you saw what happened to Stockdale, who I think is a very good basketball team. They just aren't accustomed to that. They don't see it. And they had a really tough time with West in the semifinal game because they're just not accustomed to it. And I think St. Joe's is a little bit more accustomed to what West has done over the last couple of years because of how many times they have seen each other.
No, I agree. And, you know, talk about that game last year that Clovis West was able to beat St. Joseph at home 72-63. And that was a game that, you know, at halftime, you know, I thought that game was over, to be honest. You know, Clovis West was down by more than 20 points, but, you know, you never underestimate those Golden Eagles. I want to ask you, too, John, you know, from your perspective as a coach, late in ball games, that's, you know, that's where the elite coaches shine. And, you know, I know Coach Wahlberg loves to save his timeouts for late in the game because, you know, to quote him, they're high school kids, right? So sometimes they need to take a break, or, you know, you need to remind them of the situations. But what are some key elements, you know, from your perspective as a coach that you're going to see tonight in these high-level basketball games that coaches have to be prepared for late in the game, right? Substitutions, timeouts, game plan, right? There's a lot of pressure on these coaches sometimes, isn't there?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, just as the kids have been working a long time for this, the coaches put, you know, this is their livelihood. They put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and time into what they're doing with this. And you know, the moments, they can be very big. But obviously with two coaches like Tom Mott and Vance Wahlberg, they've been doing this for an awful long time. And I'm going to tell you right now, neither one of them is going to blink an eye. They know what they're doing. They've been through these battles through thick and thin for, honestly, both of them over 30 years. And so they know what they're doing. But it can be difficult. But the thing about both of their teams are, you know, like especially with West, you got senior guards, you got junior guards, guys who know what they're doing and have been through it. And so they just keep it pretty simple. And, you know, when it gets late, they get that ball to Isaac Martinez at West, and he goes and makes a play for him or finds a teammate. And they got guys like Jackson Young who knock down big shots. And so they know what they're doing. That's a benefit to them. They've been playing for about, you know, a lot of those kids have been playing together since the third and fourth grade. So they know each other extremely well. And those things come in big time at late game situations. So while, you know, it is important for coaches to give their kids the best opportunity and put them in the best position they can to be successful, it's really about trusting the kids you have on the court. And both of these teams have guys who are really big time playmakers and know how to play the game.
Talk with John Hines, head boys basketball coach at Clovis High. John, I want to ask you about point guard play, right? You know, you college basketball, pro basketball, you need a good point guard to direct traffic and calm the team down. And, you know, a point guard is supposed to be an extension of the head coach, right? When things break down, or, you know, maybe in a game when it's loud and players can't hear the coach, a good point guard can really save the day. How important do you think is going to be guard play and point guard play in, you know, the girls' games and the boys' games tonight?
Well, I think it's massive. Yeah, there's no question. You ask anybody, you want a point in a post, and any coach will tell you, you'd like a point in a post. And really, at this time of year, guards take you pretty darn far. And there's no surprise that all four of these teams playing in these Division I games are just absolutely loaded at the guard position. And you talk about Sadie Sin and Alessa Kim at Clovis High in the backcourt. You look at Athena Tomlinson and then Araya Wright, you know. And so Clovis West, Clovis High girls, both loaded in the backcourt. And then in the game, boys game, with guys like Isaac Martinez and Jackson Young, and then Julius Price, who is, yeah, freshman, but he's a big-time player and knows what he's doing. But then you got a guy like Louis Morin who went off last year against Clovis West in this game, and especially in the first half. So they've seen it all. And it's nice and easy for both of these coaches to let him go. Like, and I know there's been a lot made of the Memorial finish with St. Joe's, right, in that last 8 seconds. Well, you didn't see Coach Tom Mott stop the game. He didn't call a timeout. He had the ball in his point guard's hand. He said, let him go, and he went, and he made a play. And because of it, they moved on. So, you know, that's the type of plays that these coaches are going to expect from their players tonight.
No, I absolutely agree. Point guard play is huge. And, and I like that. That was a really good point, John. You mentioned sometimes coaches, they want to call a timeout and set up a play. The score's tied late in the game. But sometimes you just let your horses go and you trust your guys. I want to talk a little bit about St. Joseph. Gabe and I have talked all season how they're probably the best team in the Central Section. They end up being the 3 seed, but we figured that they'd be in the championship game. They have a lot of firepower, but if you're St. Joe's, what's the biggest trap that the Knights have to avoid tonight? I'm not talking about necessarily on the game, but just like mentally, what's something that the Knights really have to avoid, right, to be able to win this game?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think they're going to have any mental issues. I'm sure that for everyone who was involved last year, that was sour enough for those guys to make sure that they are completely locked in tonight, knowing you had a 20-point lead, you know, in the third quarter of a Valley Championship or Section Championship game. And it didn't go your way, however that ended up happening. Those guys, there's going to be zero. You know, they are going to be completely locked in from the jump, from the start, ready to go. And they actually have something to prove, right? These guys are, in many people's eyes, the best team in the section, and they weren't even seeded in the top two. So they've got a chip on their shoulder as far as how other people view them, or the ranking system at least, and the fact that they came up a little bit short last year at West. So they're mentally going to be locked into what they're trying to do. You know, the things that work in their favor is their size. They've got size at every position. If you remember last year, Caden Hamilton, he wasn't a big-time player for them last year by any means. This year he is, but last year he had a big impact in that Valley Championship game, in that section championship game. So they're going to look to get him the ball early and often, because that's where, you know, West has struggled with teams this year. Even if you look at Centennial, Bakersfield gave West a game. It was a 10-point game, but yeah, West was up early big, but once Centennial took care of the ball and got that ball into the half court, they have horses who rebound and they're machines in the paint. And so it gives teams like Clovis West, who are just a little bit smaller, a difficult task. And he saw the same thing with TMI Episcopal this year with Kendrick DeLuna and their 6'9" big.
Yeah.
They made it very difficult. Now, the thing is, Clovis West won both of those games and they earned those wins, but both of those games and the game last year against St. Joe's were on their home floor. And so that makes it a little bit different. A lot of people say, you know, you play that game last year on a neutral court, St. Joe's wins that game pretty comfortably. And so we're going to have that opportunity to see that tonight, because, you know, this game obviously is at Selland, and I think St. Joe's is going to be locked in. They're going to use their size to their advantage, and they're going to put themselves in a pretty good spot to be successful. Now, as far as Clovis West was concerned, you know, they're going to have a huge home crowd, you know, there tonight, because people are going to be there to watch Tune Day and watch St. Joe's, but this is going to turn pro Clovis West in a real quick hurry when this game gets going, and you'll see. And the thing for them is they're so balanced. They're extremely balanced and deep. They got 3 to 4 guys who can get 15 to 20 on any given night. And so St. Joe's doesn't know, you know, who to really key on, because they're going to push the pace. They're going to get contributions from guys that you may not expect, and they're going to try and wear them out because of their depth. And the last point for West in favor of them is they're flat-out winners. Like I already mentioned, these guys, they play together, a lot of them, since the third and fourth grade, and they've been extremely successful that entire way. They have always won, you know, and so they just know how to win, and they've got great coaching and great culture and great tradition, and so that is a big thing that's leaning in their favor. And so it's hard to discount the fact that these guys are flat-out winners.
No, they are. And yeah, you never underestimate the heart of a champion, for sure. John, I want to ask you, too, a couple things before we have to go. What's the greatest Central Section championship game that you've ever witnessed, or the best environment, or something that pops in your mind? Like, Heck, even for me, Clovis West and St. Joe's last year. Well, I mean, just pops in my mind. You know, that great run that, that Bullard had with Tony Admonson, those three straight titles. I know Edison won with Coach T.J. Wilkins at the buzzer at Selland Arena. You know, Central had that run as well. I mean, there's just so many great games. Is there any that pop into your mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is just completely biased, but, you know, my 2004 Valley Championship against Bakersfield when they had Robert Swift, who, you know, was, you know, a lottery pick right out of high school. You know, they had a seven-footer, and they had Tim and Titus Shelton, you know, two solid Division I college basketball players. And they were the number one seed, and we were actually the number two seed, but they had to play on the road for the entirety of playoffs because of recruiting violations, and so that was their punishment. So they had to come to our place. You know, and they had an 8-point lead with 3 minutes to go, and we ended up beating them with an 11-0 run to win it. And, you know, fans storming the court and cutting down the nets and just an incredible environment. That one will always stick out in my mind. But that one you mentioned, you know, with Edison and Central, that was awesome at Selland. Heartbreaking for Central and incredible for Edison. You know, Central had it the entire way. They felt good about it. And then Edison had a baseline out with like 0.8 seconds or something and inbound the ball and a tip in from like 10 feet away. Pretty amazing. That one I'll always remember. But there's so many good ones, you know, and that's what's great about this. That's why these games mean so much, because they're two good teams are playing. You know, Fresno Christian and Fowler would tell you theirs was amazing a couple years ago. There's just always great experiences and great moments to be had on days like this. And that's what's really cool about having these games all at one time or all in one location, because you're always going to see some sort of greatness or amazing finish. And that's what it's all about for the fans, at least.
And 2019, I should mention that game against Bullard, Coach Wahlberg, you know, returning to Selland Arena. And
Dante
that's one of the greatest. In overtime, Clovis West won. But yeah, you're right. Dante Chacheret. So what was it? 1 point and like 3.2 seconds.
3 seconds to go. 80 feet, you know, very controversial. Many will say he didn't get off. Some will say he did. But an incredible finish and incredible game nonetheless for the fans, right?
And I was right on the sidelines for that one in the media row. And I recorded that. And I go back and watch that every once in a while. So Dante Chacheret, it was three dribbles from one side of the court to the other side of the court. Took off from the free throw line and laid it up. And you're right. Like, we freeze framed the video and it was just out of his hand and the light hadn't lit up to for the clock to expire. And, you know, it's something that they'll be talking about for years. But, tons of great games throughout the history in the Central section, whether it's a home court, you know, like you mentioned, your great win in 2004 and the great memories that you have of that or at Selland Arena. Tons of great finishes and tons of great memories, and that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Heck, yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's cool that these kids are getting an opportunity to do it, for sure.
For sure. John, really appreciate you jumping on. Talking high school hoops. You're a high school hoops junkie just like I am. And come say hi when we broadcast the games tonight for sure.
Absolutely, man. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. John Hines, head boys basketball coach at Clovis High. Man, that guy, he is he knows basketball through and through. He knows the Central section through and through. All right, when we come back from break, we'll be wrapping everything up here on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. Central Valley Sports Report. I've been your host, Paul Meadows, for the last 2 hours. Talk a lot about Central Section basketball. Obviously, the games at Selland Arena have been the hot topic. And, pros and cons for playing at Selland Arena, playing at home. But, man, as a fan, as a member of the media, I love the games at Selland Arena. Be able to watch all these other schools. I want to mention, too, so Coach Craig Campbell, pro Central Section historian Bob Barnett of Clovis West, girls game. They're playing again Clovis High. We're going to be bringing you that game on 1430 ESPN. He's nearing a milestone as the winningest girls basketball coach in Central Section history. If he wins tonight, he will be the guy. He has 423 wins right now. Doug White has the record. He coached at Corcoran High from 1995 to 2018. So with the win tonight, not only would the Clovis West girls clinch an 11th straight Central Section title, but Coach Craig Campbell of Clovis West would be the number one winningest girls basketball coach in Central Section history. Also want to mention, too, the three people that are going to be honored tonight in between the girls and the boys game. Andy Bogart launched his career sports reporting for the Hanford Central as a 16-year-old junior. We know him as the main guy at the Fresno Bee. Numerous awards. Nick Harrell coached Kingsburg High girls for 15 years. He's going to be honored as well. And Mike Pellesi, whose girls, the Reedley girls, we don't have an update yet, but the Reedley girls are going for a Central Section championship today. He's coaching that team. He's a longtime coach at Selma High. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Gabe Camarillo. Thank you to Phil Bergstrom. Thank you to John Hines, Mo, and Larry Trigero. We will talk to you soon.
Your home of the San Francisco 49ers, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.